Hey everyone, Celeste here. You're tuning into part two of Dr. DQ Bellis's Hidden Health Connections. If you're a nerd like me, you're going to like it because this is the most science-heavy section of the talk. If you happen to miss the first part, you might want to check it out on our website at chi.health/podcast before you continue. All right, let's not keep you waiting. Take it away, Dr. DQ Bellis.
Now, in part one, we touched on how your nutritional, physical, emotional, and even spiritual well-being connects you to your overall health. When any of these connections falter, your health is bound to suffer, at least to some degree. How much? That all depends on how much connection is lost. Do you guys remember Christopher Reeves, the original Superman? After a devastating polo accident where he fell and injured his neck, he was left paralyzed from the neck down. From the pictures, he changed from this robust, lively man to someone who seemed frail. His once muscular legs looked like thin twigs. But the thing is, the issue wasn't with his muscles. It was the connection to them, starting in his neck. In his situation, that vital life force wasn't reaching his muscles anymore. It's like the connection was completely cut off, and the energy running through that connection was just gone. Now, what if we scale it back, like as if the connection isn't totally broken, but just slightly fuzzy? Not as drastic as Reeves' situation, but still significant. As that connection dims, sooner or later, you'll feel the changes. It could be an ache, a pain, or some stiffness. And then, the big question, what do you do? To help you out, imagine your mind and body as your home. You're asleep, and suddenly, in the middle of the night, you jolt awake. Something feels off. There's this soft, crackling noise in the walls. You touch them, and yep, they're warm. There's a weird smell, too. Just as you fear the worst, the smoke alarm goes off. Opening the door, you're met with a room filled with smoke and flames. Panic sets in. You call 911, and in no time, the fire department's there. They rush in, hose down everything, suppress the fire, and manage to save most of your house, or at least what remains of it. Days later, you find out that some old wiring started the fire. But let's pause here. What if, instead of getting an electrician to fix that wiring, you kept dialing the fire department every single time those wires sparked? Would constantly dousing those sparks truly solve the issue? Well, kinda, in a way. A really terrible way. All that water, again and again, would surely rot the wood and wreck your home. Now here's a thought. Living in the U.S., with our mostly suppressive healthcare system so focused on treating the symptoms instead of really looking at the individual, their life, habits, and health choices, aren't we sort of like that house that's throwing sparks and always catching fire? And I get it. If someone is in a lot of pain, they would look at anything for relief. What I don't get is when someone takes pain meds to get them through a round of golf every weekend. So, let's look at some hard facts. From 2009 to 2021, there was an 80.2% increase in prescriptions dispensed in the U.S. According to a Georgetown University report, 2 out of 3 Americans take prescription drugs. The National Center for Health Statistics and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report that 48.6% of Americans have used at least one prescription drug in the past month. That's almost half of us. And these studies don't even take into account the over-the-counter medications that are being used without a prescription. While it's tough to say what drugs are necessary or not for a given individual, it's pretty clear that something is really off with the entire American approach to health. I saw this firsthand when I practiced chiropractic in Ireland years ago. In America, patients often ask me which pain reliever or other medications they should take for their symptoms after their first visit. But in Ireland, I constantly met patients who understood that pain medication just masked their symptoms, and they wanted natural ways to address the root causes of their problems. I remember one patient, Liam, who was training to break the Irish national record in the 100-meter dash for his age group. When he came to me, he'd been dealing with severe, persistent pain in the back of his right leg and had recently started taking medication for it. Liam knew this wasn't the right path and that medication wouldn't help him in the long run. Wanting a different approach, he asked me, a chiropractor, to fix the underlying issue, help him get off the medication, and get back on the track to train and race again. Together, we made it happen. I don't know if Liam ever broke that record, but I adjusted him for 2 years, and during that time, I heard all about his other wins. The point is, instead of suppressing his symptoms, Liam reconnected with his athletic self through chiropractic care and fixed what was causing those symptoms. As a chiropractor, my focus is on the whole person. I identify disconnects, remove interferences, and help individuals like you express health. Liam wasn't the only Irish patient I had who was seeking a more expressive approach to healthcare. Working with others like him made me think about the vast differences in prescription drug use between us Americans and the Irish and Europeans. Although I couldn't find specific data on prescription drug rates in Ireland, in neighboring England, it's 1 in 4 people. This is a stark contrast to our rate of 2 in 3, and it tells us something's really gone wrong over here. It's like, once the fire department leaves after the last big fire, we Americans install ceiling sprinklers and let them run continuously to prevent more fires. And just as that approach would destroy the house, our suppressive medical methods come at a high cost to our bodies. A CDC report by the Commonwealth Fund reveals that the United States spends more than twice as much per capita on healthcare as other wealthy countries, like England. This might be acceptable if we were twice as healthy as the Brits, but we're far from it. The same report continues, despite high U.S. spending, Americans experience worse health outcomes than their peers around the world. Among the developed nations studied, including England, Americans live the shortest lives, with an average of 77 years, compared to 81 years and higher for the other wealthy countries studied, and we bear the highest burden of chronic diseases. Since this study was published, and as we mentioned in part one, the average lifespan of Americans has dropped to 76 years. So, what's going on? Let's dig a little deeper into this idea. The most prescribed medications in the United States are analgesics, cholesterol drugs, and antidepressants, reflecting a society that's in pain, unfit, and not feeling good about itself. Could there be a connection between those three symptoms? Absolutely, and we'll get into more on that soon. Let's start with pain. Americans commonly take aspirin, ibuprofen, or naproxen to manage some form of physical pain. While these drugs are great at masking symptoms temporarily, they do nothing to address the root causes. In fact, research by the Radiological Society of North America found that long-term use of this class of medications worsened joint inflammation and cartilage quality. Yes, arthritis meds lead to more arthritis. And there's more. A study in the publication Pain also shows that using other suppressive medications like opioids for back pain can actually worsen the condition. Back pain usually has mechanical roots and thus requires a mechanical solution, one that enables the body to express health. The effects of long-term suppressive health care are clear and alarming. Renowned medical author Dr. Harris Coulter put it plainly, suppression of acute symptoms has long been known to generate serious systemic disorders. In other words, squashing symptoms in one part of the body can lead to widespread problems throughout the whole body. Consider children with skin conditions like eczema who are prescribed steroids and antibiotics. Studies have shown that over time, these children develop asthma at higher rates. Let me explain a possible reason why. Certain organisms, like frogs and some insects, have specialized skin that enables the exchange of gases like oxygen and carbon dioxide with their environment. We know that in humans, the exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide happens primarily in our lungs. However, in certain situations, your skin can contribute to gas exchange to a limited extent. For example, during intense physical activity or when your body is under stress. In these situations, your body may require an increased oxygen supply, and your skin can aid in delivering a small amount of oxygen to the tissues. Given this understanding, it's easy to see why traditional Chinese medicine practitioners propose that suppressive drugs, like those used for eczema, drive diseases deeper into the system, specifically from the skin into the lungs. It's not that practitioners of Western medicine aren't aware of this. The medical literature is loaded with examples showing that suppressing illness with drugs in one part of the body can lead to widespread chronic disease. A study published in Clinical and Experimental Allergy involving 2007 and 8-year-olds found that taking antibiotics in the first year of life quadrupled a child's risk of developing asthma, allergies, and hay fever. Another study published in the American Journal of Epidemiology reported that using antibiotics more than 10 times in childhood significantly increased the likelihood of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, a cancer that affects the body's lymphatic system. And yet, another study from the Journal of the American Medical Association found a direct correlation between antibiotic use and fatal breast cancers. Specifically, women who used antibiotics for longer periods, regardless of the specific antibiotic or the reason for their prescription, were found to be at a greater risk of breast cancer. All right, let's have a little chat about managing fevers. Remember the story from the introductory part of this talk, when Dr. Shudo introduced me to chiropractic care? It was all about how I used to treat a fever. Now, most of us have probably popped an aspirin or Tylenol to lower a fever at some point, right? I know I did all the time when I was younger. But here's a shocker. Doing that can actually make your colds and flus stick around longer. Yep, there's research that shows it can delay your recovery by up to 3.5 days. Crazy, right? Because fevers are actually our body's superhero way of fighting off those nasty bugs. So unless it's skyrocketing to dangerous levels, there's no real need to bring it down. And this, my friends, just underlines why we need to look for alternatives to antibiotics, why we need to beef up our immune systems. And that's something Dr. Shudo really hammered home for me. And most importantly, why we need to stop infections from happening in the first place. But don't worry. We'll dive into how to do all that jazz a little later on. Now let's switch gears and talk about another big issue with suppressive care, its effect on our mental health. The suppressive care model says physical and emotional well-being are separate, but we chiropractors see every day that they're linked. Physical illnesses that aren't resolved can lead to neurological and emotional symptoms, and vice versa. For example, let's consider someone in their late 30s who is inactive, eats junk food, doesn't sleep enough, doesn't drink enough water, and feels helpless as their body changes. Over time, they get depressed. That depression makes them feel hopeless. They start thinking, I need to get fit and healthy, but then it turns into, I guess this is just me now. They start using antidepressants, sleeping pills, or alcohol to mask their symptoms. By the time they come to me, they're in their 40s or 50s, have a bunch of physical and mental health issues, and a shelf full of suppressive meds. And it didn't have to be this way. Just like suppressing eczema can make the disease spread from skin to lungs, using antibiotics, steroids, and oral contraceptives can make diseases spread from body to brain. This has been linked to depression, dementia, and other emotional symptoms. Now let's dig into some specifics. A group of studies by Brigham and Women's Hospital, Harvard Medical School, and Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health found that after more than 2 months of antibiotic use, there were small decreases in cognition, psychomotor speed and attention, and working memory and learning, equivalent to aging 3 to 4 years. Their studies on the pain meds ibuprofen, found in Advil and Motrin, and acetaminophen, found in over 600 meds from Alka-Seltzer Plus to Tylenol, showed an increased risk of hearing loss. For example, women who took ibuprofen 4 to 5 days a week had a 21% higher risk of hearing loss. These meds are super common and are used for everything from headaches and menstrual cramps to toothaches, backaches, osteoarthritis, and the aches and pains that come with a cold or the flu. Back in high school, I used to take them before cross-country races to numb the pain. I wish I knew what I know now. A study from the Mayo Clinic Proceedings reported that corticosteroid meds like cortisone, hydrocortisone, and prednisone used to treat rashes, inflammatory bowel disease, asthma, and arthritis can cause psychiatric side effects. Nearly 6% of patients had severe reactions, and about 28% had mild to moderate ones. These included mood, cognition, sleep, and behavior disturbances. Long-term use often led to depressive symptoms. Depression was also found in women using hormonal contraceptives. A study in the Journal of the American Medical Association, Psychiatry, found that these women were 23% more likely to be prescribed antidepressants later on. Another study in the Journal of Child Psychology and Psychiatry showed that women who started using oral contraceptives in their teens had a higher risk of depression as adults. And then there are the links between meds and dementia. Almost half of older adults in the U.S. take anticholinergic drugs, which block a chemical messenger in the brain called acetylcholine, which is involved in memory and learning. Common symptoms these drugs are used to suppress include depression, overactive bladder, and allergic reactions. A study in the British Medical Journal found that those who took any anticholinergic meds were 11% more likely to be diagnosed with dementia. For the most potent ones, the risk was 30% higher. So, what's the big takeaway here? Remember the fire department analogy? Just like a sprinkler system can prevent a house fire, but eventually rot the wood, using suppressive care methods for your health can push diseases deeper into your system. And that, my friends, is what can lead to chronic problems that mess with both your body and mind. And here's the kicker. Despite throwing a ton of money at suppressive care, chronic illness is still running rampant in the United States. Did you know that the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention tells us that 60% of American adults are dealing with at least one chronic disease, and 40% are juggling two or more? And here's the really scary part. It's getting worse, especially for our kids. 40% of school-aged children and adolescents are battling at least one chronic disease. Let that sink in. In a typical school, 2 out of every 5 students you pass in the hallway and 6 out of every 10 teachers you talk with are suffering from some form of chronic health issue. As previously mentioned in the Georgetown report, the vast majority of adults contending with chronic conditions resort to prescription drugs to suppress their symptoms rather than taking steps to create or express health. It doesn't have to and shouldn't be this way. Pioneering researchers and celebrated doctors throughout history have criticized symptom suppression. In 1922, Dr. Henry Lindlar, one of integrative medicine's 20th century pioneers, stated, "To suppress acute diseases is to suppress nature's purifying and healing efforts, and it turns the body's constructive reactions into chronic disease conditions." Even Hippocrates, the father of medicine, advocated an expressive approach to health. He proposed that symptoms are the body's natural defenses or purification processes. We call them symptoms, but in fact, They are part of our body's way of trying to cure diseases. Pain is your body's way of saying, stop what you're doing to me. Something in your lifestyle has to change. While suppressive care unquestionably holds value for certain conditions, and we should be grateful for the advanced healthcare technology in our nation over the long run, it is disconnecting too many of us from our inner healing ability. Going back to our opening analogy, after a fire has been put out, who would you call to rebuild your house? The fire department? Or contractors? Like carpenters, plumbers, and electricians. Contractors, of course. You might even hire an interior decorator to restore a nice, homey feel. This approach to rebuilding a burnt-out house beautifully describes the expressive care approach to rebuilding one's burnt-out health. In the same vein as carpenters, electricians, and plumbers, natural healthcare systems like chiropractic, homeopathy, and classical acupuncture are expressive in nature. In other words, they work with your body to allow you to express health as nature intended. In the same way that you wouldn't rely on the fire department to reconstruct your house after a fire, it's neither logical nor scientific to lean solely on suppressive medication for health restoration or maintenance. Is so-called alternative healthcare a better option? Alternatives don't automatically mean solutions. Although natural, remedies like CBD oils and other plant-based creams merely offer different paths that culminate in the same outcome, symptom suppression. To be fully understood, expressive care should be viewed as a distinct journey, like driving into a new country. A road trip like this introduces you to different cultures, languages, and worldviews. Expressive healthcare signifies a profound shift in thought and practice, steering you toward a unique destination, one that reconnects you to the source of health, the one within you. Before we explore the easy-to-implement strategies and benefits of this approach, in the next segment, I'll introduce you to its basic concepts.
Hi everyone, Celeste here again. We've just wrapped up part two of Dr. DeCubellis' Hidden Health Connections talk. We hope it resonated with you and that you're excited for part three. In the next segment, Dr. DeCubellis will delve deeper into the world of expressive care, revealing some unexpected ways your daily habits can influence your health, the surprising resilience of Mother Nature in the environment, what you can learn from her, and how to apply her wisdom to the lifestyle choices you make on a day-to-day basis. It's full of insights that could change the way you think about your health and well-being. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one. See you soon.